Today on Real Radio.
We have been assured in the sacred writings, the Bible, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. That's from the Constitutional Convention of 1787, Benjamin Franklin.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. What is Thanksgiving? Is it indigenously American? Is it of Judeo-Christian origin? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Americans Remember.
Thomas Jefferson, who died poor, but at the time was considered a millionaire, that even George Washington was the 10th richest man in colonial America. Benjamin Rush, a multimillionaire, the father of the American Medical Association and the public school system, he and Jefferson and Adams alike. They signed their sacred honor and their fortunes away. That's how beautiful liberty was to them. And our children are growing up in a system that they don't hear it. In fact, in my opinion, so much is being done to undermine it. John Adams said, and I quote, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." A founding father said Christianity. "I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and as mutable as the existence and the attributes of God. July 4th ought to be the commemoration as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to the Almighty God." John Adams, in a letter written to Abigail Adams after the Declaration of Independence was approved by Congress. These letters are treasonous against the crown of England, but they counted it worthy. He went on. John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Maybe that's why the Constitution's fallen apart in the eyes of so many people, huh? He goes on, "It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That is a declaration that the Constitution only works if God is alive in the hearts and the minds of men. You may or may not like what I'm about to say. You'll write me later and say, "How could I say this, that it's so politically incorrect?" And yet all I'm doing is quoting members of the Taliban who declared that the Constitution of the United States must be circumnavigated or destroyed because it is a Christian document. America doesn't believe that, but our enemy does. The Pilgrims, in a letter applying for financial assistance for this venture to America, again, Pastor Robinson and Elder Brewster expressed their reasons for their confidence in making the move to America. Number one, we believe, by the way, what you're looking at right now is the Mayflower Compact. If you know anything about the Mayflower Compact, it wasn't a very big piece of paper, but you guys, the Mayflower Compact was based upon Scripture. It was the Mayflower Compact that the Constitution was based upon. Just in the beginning, it says, "In the name of God." The Pilgrims wrote this, by the way, because they're afraid that by the time they landed on the new shores of America, that lawlessness would break out. So they needed some sort of a governing body to bring them together. Their reasons for going for America, number one, in their own words, "We verily believe and trust that the Lord is with us. unto whom and whose service we have given ourselves in many trials, and that we have graciously prospered our endeavors according to the simplicity of our hearts. Number two, we are well weaned from the delicate milk of our mother country, that's England, and accustomed to the difficulties of a strange and hard land, that would be America, which yet in a great part we have by patience overcome, that's hope. The people are, number three, for the body of them, as industrious and frugal, we think we may safely say, as any company of people in the world. We are, number four, we are knit together as a body in a most strict and sacred bond, and in covenant with the Lord. With the discretion thereof, we make with great conscience, and by virtue whereof, we do hold ourselves straitly tied to the care of each other's good. Isn't that beautiful? And of the whole by everyone so mutually. In other words, love one another. And number five, lastly, it is not with us as with other men whom small things can discourage. Our small discontentments cause to wish themselves at home again. That number five announcement simply put, we're leaving and we're not coming back. We're leaving Europe and we're not coming back. Of this event, and I'm quoting, of this event, one of the great paintings of the Capitol Rotunda in the United States depicts this moving scene of Pastor Robertson, and some of you on the Heritage Tour just saw this. Pastor Robertson and public in prayer on board the Speedwell before departing for America, clearly seen in the painting is the Geneva Bible open to John 3:16, and the name Jesus Christ plainly seen on the opening page of that large print Bible. This painting in the Capitol is further proof of our nation's Christian heritage. That painting hangs there today. I was there a couple months ago, saw it hanging myself. Thirdly, under this point, the faithfulness of God having ordained a Christian nation. John Jay, church, hang on to your seats. Can you believe this? John Jay was the first Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice of the United States. I don't know what you think about judges today. We happen to have a judge that goes to this church, and he's a wonderful, awesome, God-fearing man. So I wanted to say that before I say this. So many judges today have lost God or never had a concept of God, and their judgment reflects their godless beliefs, and it's a tragedy. So, brother, you really need to pray for me now if I get in trouble. John Jay said, quote, Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation. The Chief Justice just called America a Christian nation. To select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Amen. Can you believe this? This was stated October 12, 1816, the correspondence of public papers of John Jay. Benjamin Franklin. Remember, Benjamin Franklin. People say Benjamin Franklin didn't believe in God. Have you heard that? I've heard that all the time. I still hear it all the time. Really challenges my spiritual maturity when I hear that. I want to just grab somebody and lay hands on them and read them this. Benjamin Franklin, quote, God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable then that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings, the Bible, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. That's from the Constitutional Convention of 1787, Benjamin Franklin. Oh, but he didn't believe in God. Benjamin Franklin, again, in the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. That was the gathering of Congress. Our prayers, sirs, he has heard. And they were graciously answered. Do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? Constitutional Convention, Thursday, June 28th, 1787, Benjamin Franklin. Why is this not taught in public schools anymore? But we've got our kids learning the five pillars of Islam. I don't know about you, but that bugs me. What Americans remember, number three, is the mercy of God. The mercy of God. In times of war, America's times of war have been brutal. Civil War, our own Revolutionary War, the wars that America has fought. Did you know that American soldiers have given more blood and more body to the liberty and freedom of other nations on their soil than any other soldier on the face of the earth? Sarkozy, God bless him. He said, long live America! He said, when I think about America's commitment to liberty and freedom, all I have to do in my own country is look at the crosses on the graves in Normandy of American soldiers who liberated France. God bless that man. America has forgotten. In times of war, George Washington, our first president, was commander-in-chief of the Continental Army during, of course, the Revolutionary War. After the Battle of Monongahela, Indian word, in 1755, in which George Washington's life had been spared while everyone else was killed. All the other officers were killed. Washington wrote to John Washington, his brother, quote, and this is in the letters of Washington, "But by the all-powerful dispensations of providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or exception. For I had 4 bullets through my coat, 2 horses shot dead from underneath me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveled all around my companions on every side of me." June 1779, at the headquarters overlooking the Hudson, General George Washington wrote in his prayer journal, I quote, "And now, Almighty Father, if it is thy holy will that we shall obtain a place among the nations of the earth, grant that we may be able to show our gratitude," listen carefully, "for thy goodness and for our endeavors to fear and obey thee. Bless us with thy wisdom in our councils, success in our battles, and let our victories be tempered with humility." I love that. "Endow," listen, "also our enemies with enlightened minds, that they may become sensible of their injustice and willing to restore our liberty and peace. Grant the petition of thy servant for the sake of whom thou hast called thy beloved son." The mercy of God. In time of war, also in time of difficulty. This nation has gone to God in time of difficulty. Church, you guys, so much has happened so quick. And I got to tell you, I've never believed. I got born again at a church that doesn't believe in spectator Christianity. I came out here and we started this church with 6 people. Lisa and I were 2 of them because we were raised in a non-spectator Christianity. Christianity cannot be a spectator sport. Everybody's to be involved. And I got to tell you something right now. More than ever, God's people ought to be involved in every bit of process of the social, of the government, of schools, of our community. The Christians should leave a loving, glorious, righteous way in our communities. But we don't because we're silent. We don't because we're in love with our toys or goofing off too much trying to pursue the money in which we trust. It's a terrible time for us, and we need to stand like never before. Like never before. Why? Because I remember. Do you remember? How many of you are basically my age? I don't remember the exact year. Some of you will. Dan Zink, you're a rocket scientist. You might remember. No, he's a real rocket scientist. Don't laugh. He's the real deal. Do you guys remember when Apollo 13 was getting all goofy? The school that I attended, there was a bulletin announcement at the school. The fire alarm went off. We gathered out onto the asphalt of the basketball and tetherball area to get our attention. And then they marched us right into the multipurpose room. And you know what we did there? The principal got up and announced that Apollo 13 was in trouble. And we prayed. I was not a Christian. I didn't know what to do. You know what? That didn't offend me. I thought there might have been an overriding danger that preempted my particular concerns. America is so insecure and so lost in its way that one person who's offended by the Ten Commandments can get it removed from an entire state because our nation is sick. No one should be more tolerant than the Christian. Make no mistake about it. We can share the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody, and if you say, I don't want Jesus Christ, we'll say, well, God bless you, have a nice day, and we walk away. Church, we need to stand up. You say, well, Pastor, if we're going to get silenced, why don't, you know, just we'll just be silent now because we're going to be silenced later. No. If speaking for Christ costs me my life later, then I will gladly lose my life for Christ any day of the week. He gave us these freedoms. In times of difficulty, he has always been there. Americans remember the mercy of God in times of national disobedience. I don't need to belabor this, but in times of national disobedience, there were prayer meetings that broke out across this nation. True believers didn't stand up and condemn the insanity of Haight-Ashbury and San Francisco and Oakland and the things that were going on there. And then remember, visited us right here in Laguna Beach. Do you guys remember that? The insanity of that time. Hippies stoned out, drunk, wiped out, pregnant, sex, naked, you name it. Do you remember that? Have you forgotten? And people went to pray. Prayer meetings began to break open and break out. And guess what happened? The Jesus movement was sent by God to America. And it happened right in Huntington Beach, California. When a lady who saw these hippies stoned out of their minds in a time of national disobedience as America walked away from God and declared that God was dead. Remember that? Some lady began to weep over these hippies. She told her husband, we've got to do something about this. Quite frankly, he said, who wants anything to do with them? That's the true story. And she said, something's got to be done. Well, he went to work. He was the pastor of a church that nobody had heard of. He went to work, and she went down to the beach. And she opened up the door to her car and told the hippies to get on in. And she drove them home and set up beds and pillows and blankets and bathtubs and rooms and washrooms of every place they can find in the house. And then the pastor husband came home from work, looked around and saw a bunch of hippie bums in his house. And God touched his heart, and the Jesus movement began. That was Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck Smith. God gave her that vision. And Chuck caught on. Good thing for him, huh? And that news was broadcast literally around the world that God was saving hippies. In times of national disobedience, God's people prayed and God listened. Fourthly, what Americans remember is the Word of God. Our nation from its beginning brought out the Bible in court, and you were to put your hand on the Bible and to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And now we have people who I refuse to put my hand on the Bible. Their personal persuasions more important than not only tradition, but even morality itself. How do we know if the person's going to tell the truth or not? Do you realize that it ought to put in a normal society a little bit of tinge of fear if you put your hand on a Bible? Look, I got a test for you. Take your Bible today after service. Go out to a restaurant. Set it on your table. Just set it right there. Right there. Right in front. And the waitress will come up and say, they may not say anything, but they'll look at it. Is that a Bible there? The Bible, people know this is God's Word. When you put your hand on the Bible and you're going to swear before a judge and before a jury to tell the truth, you would think even the atheist would stand up straighter with a little bit of respect, though he may not believe in it. Those days are gone. It's very sad. First, we look at the Bible in American government. The Bible in American government. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, James Madison proposed the plan to divide the central government into three branches. His discovery was based upon the model of, in Jefferson and Madison's words, listen, a government from the perfect governor. As Madison read Isaiah 33:22, quote, from the Bible, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." And that was the foundation, a basis of our three-branched type of government. From the Bible. What influence does the Bible have in American government? Have you been to the Supreme Court? Has anybody been to the Supreme Court? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you have been to Hawaii? Raise your hands. How many of you have been to Europe? Raise your hand. Now, how many of you have been to the Supreme Court? Raise your hand. That's pathetic. Bit of advice. Forget Europe. Forget Hawaii. Next trip, go to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Why? Just for the shock factor. When you walk in, it's not very big, by the way. When you walk in, over the Supreme Court Chief Justice's head, this is a true story, hang on to your seats, is a lawgiver seated upon a throne, and he's got two tablets labeled 1 through 10 in Roman numerals, like this. He's holding them. Then all the way around the building at the top, inside the Supreme Court, are lawgivers of the world. Okay? But the chief lawgiver is holding two tablets, Roman numerals 1 through 10. I said, excuse me, because you know a lawyer takes you on your tour. Excuse me, yes. Who's that holding the tablets right there? Because he started to mention Hammurabi and all these various lawgivers throughout antiquity. Excuse me, who's the one holding the tablets there on the throne, the big guy right front and center? True statement. He goes like this. I'll get you an answer before this tour is over. He was an attorney, because they're all attorneys in school or practicing or internships that take you on the tour. That made me sick to my stomach that he couldn't recognize Moses, even with a hint of two tablets labeled 1 through 10. But you know, maybe he's a byproduct of our school system. Our atheistic, godless, immoral school system. Unbelievable. In 1812, President Madison signed the federal bill which economically aided the Bible Society of Philadelphia in its goal to mass distribute the Bible. Quote, "An act for the relief of the Bible Society of Philadelphia is approved February 2nd, 1839 by this Congress." Can you imagine that happening today?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called What Americans Remember, a look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, we'll resume our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke. Now, there's more than one way to get in touch with us. First of all, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.